Saga Egmont presents The Chael Bay Murders by Pauline Rowson, read by Colin Mace. Author's note: that Charles X fled to England from France in 1830, and there was a docker strike at Southampton in 1981, forcing passengers to disembark from the SS Canberra off Spithead instead of Southampton, is fact. The existence of the Esmeralda Collection and the SS Agora are entirely the result of the author's imagination. Susan Elizabeth Haig is a real person, whose husband bid at a charity auction for her name to be used in this D.I. Andy Horton novel, thereby helping to raise £1,500 for the Sarah Duffin Centre Down Syndrome Educational Trust in Southsea. Note to the listener: please note, this book is set in the early 2000s, when technology was somewhat different. Chapter 1. Monday.
It's good of you to see me, sir, and so early.
Andy Horton followed the stooping silver-haired man through a small lobby into a bright and sunny lounge that overlooked the East Solent.
Not at all, Inspector. And it's not early for me. Like many older people, I don't sleep well, and it makes a nice change to have company, whatever the hour. Oh, I know I've got all the company I need here.
Adrian Stanley tossed over his shoulder, as though reading Horton's mind.
These retirement apartments are full of people like me, widowers and widows, but sometimes it's nice to see a younger face. Coffee? Or would you prefer something stronger? You're off duty, I take it,
he added, eyeing Horton's leather biker jacket.
Not that that made much difference in my day. Policing was very different in the 70s and 80s, before the politically correct brigade hijacked it.
Coffee, black, no sugar would be great, Horton said, smiling, thinking if Adrian Stanley drank alcohol at this time in the morning, then he had a serious problem. There were no signs of the elderly man being an alcoholic, though, quite the contrary. His lined face boasted a healthy complexion, and his grey eyes were bright and keen for a man in his 70s. The small apartment smelt and looked clean. It was on the top floor of a 4-storey modern building, and despite the fact that the April sun had not yet gained full height or strength, it was a bright morning. The apartment faced south, and the central heating was on full.
"You can take your jacket off if you like," Stanley said, stepping into the modern kitchen and flicking on the kettle.
"Thanks." Horton eased off the Harley Davidson jacket, thinking Stanley must have noticed him sweating. He glanced around the neat lounge with 3 easy armchairs, a coffee table in front of a fireplace, television, DVD player, modern music system, and a range of family photographs on the mantelpiece of young children with their parents and grandfather. There were more of the same on a wall unit, but here in several photographs, Horton saw a slender, smiling woman beside Adrian Stanley. He assumed that she was the late Mrs. Stanley. Horton draped his jacket over one of the 2 chairs beside a drop-leaf oak table and noted the powerful binoculars on it, before turning towards the window.
"You've certainly got a lovely view, sir," he said, gazing across the sparkling blue of the Solent at a handful of yachts heading into the harbour of Cowes on the Isle of Wight.
He would like to have been out there himself, sailing his new yacht, Mystery Lady, but since buying it a fortnight ago, he'd barely had the chance. It was also looking doubtful that he'd get the opportunity to sail her this week. Not only was his stretched, under-resourced CID department experiencing a mini-crime wave, but a new superyacht had moored up at Oyster Keys on Sunday, and that would act like a magnet to every tow-rack criminal for miles around. Horton had left a message for DC Walters to urgently check its security this morning. The last thing he needed was a high-profile robbery on his patch. He would have preferred to send Cantelli, but the sergeant would throw up the moment he got on the water, and Horton didn't think the owner, a man called Russell Glenn, whom Horton had never heard of, would appreciate that on his nice, shiny new yacht.
"It's one of the reasons I chose to live here," Stanley called out from the kitchen, bringing Horton back to the matter in hand, which had nothing to do with his job.
He was here on a personal matter, hence the early visit before officially being on duty.